Good morning, church. It's a blessing to be here once more and to praise the name of the Lord and lift high his name, because he's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Valerie, for such a lovely service, and nice to see everyone. And as we come, we think about today as a communion and Mother's Day, and I want to wish all of the mothers here a happy Mother's Day. So on this special day when we gather around the Lord's table and also celebrate Mother's Day, I cannot help but notice something interesting about both of them. Communion reminds us that Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And if there's anyone who understands the power of remembrance, it's mothers. Mothers have a spiritual gift for remembering everything. Jesus asks us to remember his sacrifice once a month or so, but mothers remember things from 1960. Like it happens yesterday. You can be standing there trying to take communion in peace, reflecting on the grace of God, and your mother leans over and whispers, "I remember when you spilled your communion, your grape juice all over the church carpet when you were 5. And suddenly you realize that the same table where we remember Christ's sacrifice is also the place where mothers remember every embarrassing thing we've ever done. But in a way, that's fitting, because just like Jesus gathers us around his table with grace, love, and forgiveness, mothers have been doing the same thing for years, feeding us, correcting us, praying for us, and reminding us that no matter how grown we think we are, we'll always be their child. We also have to honor the fathers who took on the role of a mother, doing it so beautiful and well done. Okay, so our message today is taken from Matthew 26, 17 to 30, and Isaiah 55, 1 to 13. Matthew 26. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at a table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Isaiah 55, 1 to 13. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without costs. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know. You will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose of which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Amen. Heavenly Father, as I come before your presence, I give you thanks, Lord, for life. I thank you for this day, filled with your goodness, your grace, and your mercies. And Heavenly Father, as we are about to hear your words, Lord, I pray that you fill us up. I pray, mighty God, that we will live by your words and that we will walk in a holy way while your light being shines through us. Let us do nothing of self, Lord, but help us to fulfill the purposes that you have ordained for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Matthew shows us a table. Isaiah shows us an invitation. Matthew shows us disciples gathered together. Isaiah shows us God calling people to come together. And when we listen closely to these two passages, a powerful theme begins to rise from the passages of scriptures. It is a theme of gathering. It is a theme of community. It is a theme of togetherness. So the message this morning is entitled, A Time to Be Together. Now, brethren, we live in an age where people have never been more connected and yet more disconnected at the same time. We can send messages instantly across the world. We can speak to someone on the other side of the planet with a device in our hands, like I'm doing to you now. We can share pictures, thoughts, and conversations at the moment. But at the same time, loneliness has become one of the greatest struggles of our generation. People sit in a crowded city and feel alone. Families sit in the same living room but speak very little to each other. Churches gathered every week, yet sometimes people leave without anyone knowing what they are going through. The world is busy, the world is noisy, but hearts are often empty. And into that emptiness, the word of God speaks. Isaiah says, come everyone who thirst, come to the waters. Jesus gathers his disciples around a table. God is calling us to something powerful. You were not created to walk through life alone. You were not meant to worship alone. God created his people to live in community. Yes, there are moments when we pray alone. Yes, there are moments when we struggle alone. And yes, there are seasons when we have our own personal reflection. But there are also sacred moments when God calls his people together. Moments when believers sit around the table of grace. Moments when voices rise together in worship. Moments when hearts are strengthened because they are not walking alone. And when we examine our passages today, we see three truths about these sacred gatherings. First, we see the preparation of togetherness. Second, we see the power of togetherness. And third, we see the purpose of togetherness. Let us begin with the first truth, the preparation for togetherness. Matthew 26, verse 17 says, "Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" Notice the word, prepare. Before the disciples gathered around the table, something had to happen first. Preparation. Jesus instructed them to go into the city and make arrangements. The meal had to be planned. The table had to be set. The lamb had to be prepared. The bread had to be ready. Everything had to be in place before they gathering together. Church, meaningful togetherness does not happen accidentally. It requires intention. It requires effort. It requires preparation. Families that remain strong usually have traditions that bring them together. Churches that remain healthy are churches that value fellowship. Friendships that last are friendships where people intentionally make time for one another. Togetherness must be cultivated. It must be protected. It must be prioritized. Sorry, a tongue tie. And the truth is that sometimes life becomes so busy that we forget the importance of gathering. Work schedules pull us in different directions. Responsibilities pile up. Distractions multiply. Before we know it, we find ourselves isolated. But God has always called his people back to the table. Isaiah 55 gives us one of the most beautiful invitations in the entire Bible. "Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters." Notice that invitation has already been prepared. The waters are ready. The table is set. The feast is waiting. God has already made provision. All that remains is for his people to come. When I was growing up, Sunday dinner was something special. My mother would wake up early in the morning. She would begin cooking long before the rest of the family got out of bed. The house would slowly fill with smell of food, chicken frying, rice and peas being cooked, mingled with the scent of coconut, vegetables simmering on the stove, the blender going at the same time, drinks being made from freshly picked fruits. And while the food cooked, she would prepare the table. Plates arranged carefully, glasses placed neatly, napkins folded just right. Everything was done with care. Why? Because the family was coming together. And when everyone arrived, something beautiful happened. Stories were shared. Laughter echoed through the house. Children ran around the room. The meal itself was wonderful, but the real treasure was the togetherness. church, when God prepares a table for his people, it is about more than food. It is about family. It is about belonging. It is about remembering that we are part of something greater than ourselves. And the Lord prepares that table again and again. But preparation is not only physical, it is also spiritual. Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew betrayal was coming. He knew suffering was ahead. He knew the cross was waiting. Yet before all of that unfolded, he gathered his disciples. Because sometimes the greatest preparation for a difficult season is simple being together. When believers gather, they encourage one another. They strengthen one another. They remind each other of God's promises. They pray for one another. And those moments of togetherness prepare for us. And those moments of togetherness prepare us for the challenges that lies ahead. Matthew 26 verse 20 says, when it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. Just picture the scene. Just sitting at the table, his disciples gathered around him, bread on the table, wine in the cup, a quiet moment before the storm of events that would soon unfold. But what makes this moment even more powerful is what Jesus already knew. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew Peter would deny him. He knew the disciples would scatter. Yet he still invited them to sit at the table. That is grace. Jesus did not gather perfect people. He gathered broken people. He gathered confused people. He gathered people who would fail him. And yet he still welcomed them to the table. Brethren, this is still the kind of people Jesus gathers today. You do not have to be perfect to sit at his table. You only have to be willing to come. The church is not a gathering of perfect people. It is a gathering of redeemed people. It is a gathering of forgiven people. It is a gathering of thirsty people who has discovered the living water. Isaiah's invitation reminds us, come everyone who thirsts. Not everyone who has life figured out. Not everyone who has everything under control. Everyone who thirsts. Imagine a campfire burning in the woods. If you take one coal and put it away from the fire, it begins to cool. The glow fades, the heat disappears. But when the coals remain together, the fire burns hotter and brighter. Christians are much the very same. When we isolate ourselves, our spiritual passions can begin to fade. Discouragement creeps in, faith weakens. Hope feels distant, but when believers gather together, something powerful happens. Faith is strengthened. Encouragement flows. Prayer lifts weary hearts, and the fire begins to burn again. Matthew 26:30 gives us a beautiful detail. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Before the cross, they sang together. Before the suffering, they worshiped together. There is something powerful about worshiping together. When believers lift their voices in praises, something changes inside us. Fear begins to shrink. Faith begins to rise. Hope fills the room. And our hearts remember that God is still on the throne. During that meal, Jesus instituted that what we now call the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, 26 to 28 says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. Jesus wanted his disciples to remember something. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his love. Remember the covenant that would be sealed through his blood. Because what we remember shapes how we live. When we forgot God's goodness, discouragement grows. When we forgot God's promises, fear begins to take over. But when we remember what Christ has done for us, faith is renewed." This is why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." At family reunions, people begin telling stories. Someone says, "Do you remember when?" And suddenly memories come alive. Laughter fills the room. Stories connect generations. And the family remembers who they are. Church, when believers gathered, we remember who we are. We are redeemed. We are the children of God. We are the people saved by grace. Togetherness reminds us of our identity. But togetherness also brings renewal. Isaiah 55 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." God is inviting people to come and receive life, grace, forgiveness, and restoration. When people come into God's presence, hearts are renewed. And often that renewal happens when believers gather together. There is power in corporate worship, power in shared prayer, power in hearing the word together, because we realize that we are not alone in this journey. Isaiah compares God's word to rain falling on the earth. When rain falls on dry soil, something amazing happens. Seeds hidden beneath the surface begin to grow. Fields become green again. Life returns. Many people are living in spiritual drought. Their hearts are dry. Their souls are weary. But when God's word falls on thirsty hearts, life begins again. Matthew 26 ends with a hymn to conclude. Jesus and his disciples singing together, a small group gathered in an upper room, yet that gathering would change the world, because from that room would come the cross. From the cross would come salvation. From salvation would come the church. And for 2,000 years, believers have committed together. Across nations, across cultures, across generations, because God keeps extending the invitation. Come. Come to the waters. Come to the table. Come to the Savior. And one day there will be one final gathering. Revelation 19:6-9 calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. Every believer from every nation gathering together in the presence of Christ. No more sorrow, no more suffering, no more illness, only joy eternal. Until that day, we keep gathering, we keep worshiping, we keep encouraging one another, because sometimes the most sacred moments in life happens when God's people simply come together. And today the invitation still stands. Come, everyone who thirsts. If you are weary, come. If you are searching, come. If you need grace, come. Because there is a table prepared. There's a Savior waiting. And there is a place for you among the people of God. Amen.